The first reading today, St. John tells us that we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. And that's the question that each one of us then needs to look at, because that is, again, what we hear in our Lord speaking to us in the gospel, command to love one another as he has loved us. And we can look at it and see that, yes, the Lord loved us to the end. He loved us on the cross through his passion, and that's what we have to do. And the Lord makes that clear, that no one has greater love than for someone to lay down his life for his friend. But the old saying must be understood here, and that is that before you can die the death of a martyr, you have to live the life of a martyr. So we have to then look at our own disposition toward things, because it would actually be relatively easy to die for somebody. Most of the time, it would only take a little bit of time, might be slightly painful for a little bit, and then it's over. It's way more difficult to die to self over and over and over and over and over for years than it is to die in a few minutes or a few hours. That's what we have to all look at. But we also need to be very careful, because we can look at it and say, okay, practically speaking, to love is to serve. So I have to serve this person or these people, whatever the case may be. For those who are married, that's something you need to look at extremely closely, because that's the vow that you made. You made a vow that you're going to love this other person. That doesn't mean to have nice feelings about the other person every day for the rest of your life. It means to die to yourself and serve that other person at every moment of every day for the rest of your life. How you doing? Kind of what I thought. Because married couples get into a rut. They get into this rut if they just, this is our routine, this is what we do, this is how we do it. Nowhere in the marriage vows did I see something that said, I just want to be in a rut with you. I mean, do you really think you would have married that other person if that's what they said? I just want to be in a rut. I want to be mediocre. I want to love you, but I don't want to love you too terribly much, because that's going to require something of me. No kidding. Because what you gave away on the day you got married is your entire self, 100%. You didn't say, I'm going to give 50%. You didn't say 60 or 70. You gave your entire self to that other person. And you received that other person entirely to yourself. And so your task then is to serve that person. In a way, it's a whole lot easier to serve everybody else. I point that out oftentimes at weddings. I look right at the couple and say, you know what? You're only making a vow to love this one other person. You're not all these other good people who came to your wedding. You're not making a vow to love them, because they're going to be easy to love, because they're going to go home. And when you go home, there's going to be this one other person there who some days is going to be the most difficult person in the world to love, which is why you made a vow to love that one person. If you're not married, well, you got to love everybody. Married people do too, but in a particular way, that one person. And so certainly it's to pray for that person. Certainly it's desire the good of that person. It's to want that person to be able to get to heaven and all these different things that we want to look at. But it's to lay down your life. It's to die to yourself. It's to live for that other person, to seek that other person's good, to put that other person in front of yourself. So whether that's a spouse or somebody else doesn't matter. That's loving one's neighbor. Now we need to make some other distinctions, because one of the areas that's very subtle is that we can do things that look really charitable for a totally selfish reason. If you think about from a husband's perspective, it's like, well, I better do this for my wife or I'm going to be sleeping on the couch tonight. It's like, right, so you did something really nice for your wife so that you didn't have to sleep on the couch. Totally selfish. You could say, oh, no, look at all the good I did for my wife. It's like, yep, so that you didn't have to deal with the fallout if you didn't do it. Wrong reason. Do the right thing for the right reason. Love your spouse. Do it for your spouse. Even if you're sleeping on the couch tonight, love that person. Serve that person. That's hard. Because selfishness gets into everything that we do. And the selfishness is the opposite of the charity. So if you're going to love this other person, the goal is, again, dying to self, getting rid of the selfishness. That doesn't come easily. In fact, it's the most difficult thing in the spiritual life is dying to self. So we're supposed to love God above everybody else, and our selfishness gets in the way there. What do I get out of this? That's not the issue. If you look at it honestly, what's God get out of this? You. Yeah, isn't that a fair deal? He gets you and you get him. Yeah, who got the better end of that one? Actually, neither. Because if you're giving yourself 100%, God's giving himself 100%. On that level, the gift is equal. Obviously, God's 100% is infinitely greater than ours. But if it's 100%, it's 100%. And that's what God is looking for from us. Not for a selfish reason, because he doesn't get a thing. But it's because it's best for us. If we can love the way that we're supposed to, that's what's best for us. That's what God is looking for. So we need to be seeking what's best for God. He's seeking what's best for us. In a marriage, you seek what's best for your spouse. You seek what's best for your children, for your family. You put yourself last, you put the others in front of yourself. You die to self. That's what your spouse is supposed to be doing for you. At the same time, you're doing that for your spouse. It's two people dying and two people giving life to one another. That's what love is. And so when we talk about laying down your life for your friend, that's what it's all about. It's dying to self and living for others, putting others first. Now that said, we have to be a little bit cautious again. Another distinction we have to make. How does that happen? That's going to depend on your personality. That's going to depend on your vocation. That's going to depend on what God is doing with you. For instance, you can go out to the monastery. There are a bunch of nuns that are out there that are spending their day in silence and prayer and penance. You can say, oh, isn't that nice? They're serving one another. A little community, what good is that? No. They're doing this for the whole church. They're doing it for you and me. They're doing it for the Pope and the cardinals and the bishops and the priests and all the people. They're not looking for anything for themselves. They're just giving themselves totally. Obviously, they're not out there doing things for somebody else. They're not serving in the way that would be physically helping somebody, lifting this for them, moving that for them, doing this, whatever. That's not what they're doing. They're moving mountains is what they're doing. They're serving the rest of us by keeping Satan at bay. Yeah, we have our little part to do in that, but they're taking on the lion's share of it. So how are you to serve? It depends on what God is asking of you. If he's calling you to deeper prayer, that's how you're going to serve primarily. Yeah, there'll be times when you might have to actually do some physical things for people and so on. But otherwise, it's more spiritual. If he's calling you to a more active kind of life, well, then it's serving people in a more active way, a more material way, whatever it is. So that's, again, we have to make sure that we're praying about so that we're actually serving the way that God wants us to serve. And of course, the other part of that, when you're serving another person, especially if you're married, it is to serve that person in the way that's best for that person. That's what we have to always be looking at, what's best for the other. That's not our opinion of what's best for the other, it's what's truly best for the other. So looking out again at that person's situation, their personality, their needs, all of those things that we have to be looking out for. So again, depends on how God is calling you, what he's asking of you, what your circumstances are. Everyone's circumstances are a little bit different. Some are very, very painful and difficult. Some are pretty easy at the moment. Praise God if it's easy. The day will come when it won't be. But rejoice in it. In the meantime, if your circumstances are very difficult, it's a matter of looking and saying, okay, given the circumstances, how do I proceed? How do I love this person? Again, that's where the selfishness is going to come in. Because, well, they don't want to talk to me, then I'm not going to talk to them. Well, sometimes not talking to somebody is a loving thing, because otherwise you might yell at them or something, and that wouldn't be good. But generally, giving somebody the silent treatment is not loving them. Even if they're doing it to you, that doesn't justify you in doing it to them. So again, this is where we have to die to self. This is where we have to go beyond ourselves to say what really is going to be best for this other person. That is really, really hard. That is laying down your life for your friend.